Last week on episode 2 of Find Your Puffed Sleeves, we talked about how building a capsule wardrobe and the entire process around it is absolutely crucial to developing your personal style. This week, I want to focus on what I call one of the 4 pillars of personal style, and that is fit. That is the way clothes fit your body. You might be used to hearing this topic in the context of what fruit or vegetable or shape your body most resembles. So today I want to talk about the pros and cons of those systems and also getting away from that, looking a little bit broader and expanding our vocabulary around this very important topic in developing our personal style. Kindred Spirit, welcome back. I am very excited that we get to move on to this topic today. Fit is something that we all have an understanding of. We all know probably to some extent what works for our body and what doesn't. And today I want to focus on the words, the vocabulary that really help us understand what is going to work on our body and why it works on our body, and how this knowing this vocabulary overlaps into other areas of our creative life as well. So I don't want to waste any time. Let's jump right into it. And I think that the best place to start our topic is with a quote from a costume designer. This is from a book that I read a few years ago, and this quote really stuck out to me. So we are going to start here. So this is from Allison Freer is her name. She's a costume designer and dresses a lot of celebrities and actors for TVs and movies. And her book is called How to Get Dressed, A Costume Designer's Secrets for Making Your Clothes Look, Fit, and Feel Amazing. So this is a really helpful, practical book that I recommend, but I wanted to start with her words on page 98. So she says, I have never, ever, not even once in my career, put an actor on camera in an article of clothing that hasn't had at least one alteration, no matter how small. That quote really stuck out to me, and maybe it sticks out to you, maybe for different reasons. But for me, it was a very relieving thing to hear, because I am sure I am not alone in one time or other just having great frustration in the dressing room or in front of our own mirrors in our own homes, trying things on and trying to figure out why on earth a particular style doesn't work for us. And I know even if we can't articulate why, we probably all have something in our minds right now that we think, oh, I can't wear that. I just can't. It doesn't look good on me. So I want to get into that today and talk about the why, and also talk about why this is such a challenge. Why it's such a challenge to get dressed in 2021 in the world that we're living in. So let me start with a story about my own life. And I bet a lot of you will be able to relate to it, especially if you are my age and you grew up in this same era that I'm about to discuss. But if not, this exact thing, I'm sure you have a similar story. So when I was in high school, the trend for pants was low rise. You had 2 options in pants, low rise and extra low rise. And I remember vividly my frustrations. I remember one day just trying to look for a single pair of jeans that would fit me. And I tried on maybe 20 pairs and none of them worked. And it was a completely frustrating experience. I mean, you see everybody in jeans every day and you just wonder why am I the only person that can't wear jeans or pants in general? So every time I would try on these low-rise pants, they just looked really off and I couldn't figure out why. And then I would bend over and there would just be this giant gap in the back of my pants and I couldn't figure out why it didn't work. So I would end up wearing low-rise pants because that was literally the only option. But I would wear longer tops to compensate for the low-rise so that the shirt would meet the top of the pants, obviously. And it would just make my proportions look really off. My torso would look extra long and my legs looked extra short. And I just thought, well, that's too bad that I'm just the one person on the planet that doesn't look good in pants. And so now as a mature adult and I have a better vocabulary and a better understanding of my body's proportions, I also live in an age where, thankfully, high-rise pants are a thing. They're back in style. So I remember the first time I tried on a pair of high-waisted pants, it was a complete revelation to me and such a relief that, like, all of a sudden I realized it wasn't my body after all, it was the pants. Now it is a rule in my life that I just do not wear low-rise pants. And I don't say I can't wear those. I don't say, wow, it's really too bad that I can't wear low-rise pants. It's just that I'm one of those unfortunate people. To me, it's because I have the vocabulary and this understanding that I have a long torso and a low-rise pant is just not going to fit me in the same way that somebody with a more average torso size would. So just having that understanding and realizing that it's the clothes, it's the problem of the clothes, it's not my problem, is just a much better mindset to be in. So I'm sure that we can all relate where we have something that we just say, I can't wear that. And for one thing, it isn't that I can't wear it or that you can't wear it. It's that we choose not to. And that's I think that's an important distinction. So now I say, I choose not to wear low-rise pants because high-waisted pants look great on me. They work for my body type. So I'm never going to waste energy again on wondering if low-rise pants might work, even if they become all the rage and nobody's wearing high-waisted pants anymore. I will be the one wearing them because it works on my body and they don't even look high-waisted on me half the time. They just look like great fitting pants. So I bring that up because I'm sure we can all relate to that. And based on Alison Freer's quote here, her point is that even celebrities who we might think of as having ideal body types, we think of them as just tall and thin and they can wear anything. She's saying that even these people need alterations in literally every item of clothing that they put on. So if they need alterations, what does that say about people with maybe a more average body type? What are we dealing with? So this just brings up the question, how on earth are we supposed to get dressed? If nothing off the rack fits anybody, then what are we supposed to do? This could be a depressing insight, but I happen to think that it is very encouraging, actually. So I want to talk about first why it's so hard to get dressed in our day and age that we live in. And of course, I'm going to draw a comparison between our world and the world of Anne Shirley. This is Find Your Puffed Sleeves after all. And we are talking about Anne's puffed sleeves when we say that. So if you remember, we talked about this last time, that Anne had three dresses in her closet and she did not love them. The only dress that she loved was the dress that Matthew commissioned Rachel Lynde to make this dress for Anne. So before the puffed sleeves entered Anne's life, she had three very plain dresses that she did not love. However, they fit her very well. And for Marilla, that was enough. So I think it's important to remember that for most of the history of the world, clothes were handmade, hand-tailored to your body. And in the case of Anne, when Mrs. Lynde took on this job of producing this dress for Anne, she was absolutely thrilled because she knew that chocolate brown would look amazing with Anne's coloring. And she knew what all of the latest fashions were for Anne's age group. And she was thrilled to be able to create this dress that would just bring out Anne's beauty and charm. So how wonderful that somebody who loved Anne and saw her for who she truly was could make something tailor-made to her body. So today that just doesn't really happen. Aside from having clothes that aren't tailor-made to us, we also have a million and one options, which just makes it harder, as we talked about in our last episode. So if we feel frustrated in the dressing room and we feel like we've eliminated so many things that don't work on our body and we feel like maybe we can only wear one or two styles really well, that is actually, that can be frustrating, or it can also be a relief if you are practicing a capsule wardrobe. Because when you have a capsule wardrobe, you don't need a million things to fit you well. You just need a few things. So, and this also brings up the point that, again, I talk about this a lot, but finding your puffed sleeves, finding your personal style is not something that happens overnight. It's not something that has a final destination. The destination that we talk about is basically just learning to love the process, because the process is never going to end. We're never going to reach a place where we can just kick up our feet and say, well, I've done all I can. Now it's just downhill from here. We're always going to be growing in some way. So if we can learn to love the process and be content even when things aren't perfect, as Anne was, she did not love her three dresses, but she was still able to be Anne in all three of her dresses. Because her clothes fit her well, she looked presentable. They were definitely an improvement from the clothes that were faded and didn't fit her well at all. And honestly, I just think that's a great place to be. If you don't feel like you have a personal style right now, but you are able to get up each day and dress in clean clothes and brush your hair and teeth, then that's a great foundation. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So our goal is to learn more about ourselves and the person that we want to portray to others, and to gain a better vocabulary. But again, that's just something that is going to take time. So let us remember this the next time we're in a dressing room or standing in front of our own mirror and we try something on, and our first tendency is to blame our bodies. So I just think that it bears repeating that it is never our bodies. It is always the clothes. There's no body type that is exempt from being stylish or wearing clothes that don't fit well and that don't reflect who we truly are. So when you stand in front of the mirror and something isn't working, you can just say, this doesn't honor who I truly am, and I'd rather wear something that reflects who I truly am. So I choose not to wear it. I have every right to wear this ill-fitting pair of pants or this shirt that just makes me feel frumpy or not my best self. I can wear it. You absolutely can. If it's the latest trend and you want to show the world that you know what's in style, then you can wear that. But you also have the choice to say, no, I'm going to wear what I feel truly represents me and my style. So it's always a choice. There's no such thing as I can't wear that. But again, I always think that mindset is the most important thing. So if we are actively seeking to grow our personal style and to grow our creativity and our creative productivity and to learn more about ourselves and our gifts, then we will be content in that process and understand that every time we end the capsule wardrobe season and start to curate a new one, we're going to get closer and closer to just really understanding what works for us and the things about our bodies that will never change, and also just accepting the things that will never change, and also seeing those things as keys to the true you. It's an empowering mentality. It's a mentality that puts you in control. Again, it makes you the heroine of your wardrobe. So when I talk about fit, I'm thinking about the things that won't change about our bodies. So I mean proportions, our vertical lines, how long our torso is, how long our legs are. Those things won't ever change with, say, weight fluctuation, especially if we have stopped growing. Then this is the body we have. We are going to learn to accept it and dress it to the best of our knowledge. So along with the vertical lines, we also have proportions that we may be more familiar with if you have studied at all the body typing system that involves naming your body after a fruit, an apple or banana, or then there's the hourglass. I don't know what fruit is that. Well, you know, the pear shape or whatever. Or there's the system that just goes off of shapes. You're a rectangle or an inverted triangle or whatever. So those mainly focus on your horizontal measurements, your shoulder, your bust, your waist, and your hips. And I think that all of these body typing systems, I've studied many of them, trying to look for answers. I think they all have something to offer, and there's a small grain of truth in every one of them and a small nugget that can be applied to your life. But maybe you don't want to study every system out there. It's overwhelming and just possibly ruins the fun of style. So I don't think you have to study all those things, especially because if you get focused on one thing, like let's say that you find out that your body is a pear shape. So you Google what looks best on a pear shape, and then you realize, oh, I need to be wearing more off-the-shoulder tops or puffed sleeves, something that adds volume to my upper half to balance out my lower half. That is all helpful information, but let's say that you fill your wardrobe with all of these tops that balance out your proportions. And then a few weeks later, you decide that you want to look into personal color palettes and color theory and whether you are warm toned, if you have warm undertones in your skin or cool undertones. And then you realize that you bought everything that fits your proportions correctly, but in the wrong color palette for your skin tone. So then it can just feel like you're never going to win and it becomes very frustrating. But again, if you're practicing a capsule wardrobe, you're going to be protected from these crazy investments. You're not going to go out and buy 20 tops that work right for your body and then realize that they're in the wrong color, that you should have gotten blue instead of orange. Because you have a capsule wardrobe and a limited number of items in your closet at one time, maybe you only bought three of those things. And so then it becomes not something that you're frustrated by once you realize you purchased all of them in the wrong color. It becomes something that you can say, like, I learned a lot from that. And now next season, I will focus on finding something that is in the right shape for my body and also the right color. And then maybe the next season, you find out that you really don't like structured fabrics. You like things that are a little more form-fitting. And so you have that knowledge to go and purchase the pear-shaped item in the cool color that's also in this fabric that feels best on your body. So do you see what I mean? That the capsule wardrobe, I know I sound like a broken record, but it is a protective boundary that helps us to take risks in a very safe way. So what I have learned in studying all of these different body typing systems, color palettes for your body type, you know, the seasons that you are, or the season that you are, that kind of thing. There is not one specific system that I am just 100% all in for. And I just kind of explained why, because I feel like the only way to benefit from them is to understand the ins and outs of every system. And that is just too overwhelming. So I want to talk about what I've learned in my experience as an artist. And the best way that I can think about this or explain what I mean is by talking about geometry of our body, the lines of our bodies, the lines in which you draw the human form. So let me just explain. So as an artist, when I sit down to draw the human figure, I'm always surprised that I have kind of a natural instinct, and this goes for all artists, maybe even in your casual doodling, you've noticed this too, that when you draw the human figure, you kind of have this idea based on the structure, the outline of this person's body, what clothes would look best on them. So if I draw somebody with a more rounded face, I instinctively know that that person might look better with wavy hair or something that's just more rounded. I might try and put something that's a little bit more geometric on this person with a round face and round eyes. And then I realize that it looks too harsh or severe on them. So that's very interesting. And then I can also realize that when I look in the mirror, that I'm drawing very similar lines to what I have on my body without realizing it. I myself have a very rounded jawline. I don't have, there aren't a lot of strong angles in my face. So that represents my own style too. Just in general, I am not drawn to geometric patterns in my own clothing. So that's very interesting. So let's go another step further. I want you to picture with me. So you see this a lot in like animated films or TV shows where characters tend to be more exaggerated. So let's talk about a very exaggerated character that we are hopefully all familiar with. Hopefully in the sense that my example will make sense. Not that this is an exemplary person, but so imagine, picture in your head Cruella de Vil from the Disney animated film, how angular her cheekbones are and how angular her jaw is. Now, so you can kind of get a visual of what she looks like, how she's dressed in the movie with that kind of slinky long dress and that huge fur coat. She looks pretty ridiculous and over the top, but at the same time, you do get this sense of how unflattering her actual character is. She's not, she's just, you know, a pretty all around terrible person. Personality aside, let's just look at her angles, her body type. And if you imagine her instead of this outfit that she's wearing, imagine, like, you know, very, also very high contrast colors too. She wears black, white, red. So imagine her in something completely different. Let's say she has really curly hair and big round glasses and a Peter Pan collar and a cardigan. So we all instinctively know that is absolutely wrong. And you would never put her in that unless you wanted to make her a comical figure. But let's go to the other extreme. Like, imagine a cute, chubby baby, just a few months old, just all roundness. If you put that baby in something with very geometric shapes, or maybe like something that just looks tough, like a leather jacket with studs on it or something, and a black shirt with geometric shapes in a white print or something like that in the outfit. Like, that's just something you would never put a baby in because it's just obviously wrong. You might put the baby in that for a Halloween costume and it'd be perfect because it would be hilarious because the contrast of this innocent round baby and something that we associate with toughness and severity is, the contrast is just so extreme. My point in this is to show you that we all have natural instincts that we maybe forget about. So whenever you are putting on something on your body that you immediately know, oh, this doesn't work, it is, your instincts are trustworthy. And so when we just jump to the conclusion of, I just don't have the right body for this, or I can't wear that, or I just need to lose weight because then getting dressed would be easier. Like, just erase all of those thoughts out of your brain because none of them are accurate. None of them are true in the sense that that is the problem with getting dressed. Remember, you are not excluded from personal style, from having personal style and figuring out the clothes that work best on you for any reason whatsoever. So just in your own personal reflection, think about the angles that you are drawn to. And that might seem pretty vague, but what do you, when you sit down and doodle, if you're just talking on the phone or just thinking through something and you just pick up a pen and start to draw, what do you just draw whenever you're not thinking about it? Do you draw geometric shapes or abstract patterns or really thick lines? Or do you do things that are a little bit more wispy and delicate? Do you draw circles or flowers or very symmetrical patterns or things that are more random? What do you draw? And then also think about the like physical things that you are attracted to. If, like, whether that be pets, it's kind of funny. Like, that's also in the movie 101 Dalmatians, when the dog at the beginning is watching the owners walk by with their pets, and there are obvious similarities between the owner and the dog. And I think that that's an observation. I'm not the first one to observe that. But if you think about the dog that you as a person might be drawn to, what you think is especially cute or striking, think about what it is about that dog that is attractive to you that would make that like your ideal dog. And then also think about, maybe you're not a car person. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination, but what car would you choose over another just based on its appearance? So for me, I've always loved the Volkswagen Bug. May it rest in peace. But I've just always been drawn by the funness of that car and how cute it is. So maybe you're drawn to something that is more sleek or classic or sophisticated, elegant, something like that, or tough, or whatever it is. Like, try and think, like, what have you always thought of as being your ideal car aesthetically? So think about those things. And across the board, like, what are some of the similar words that you use for all of those things? And when you look in the mirror, what do you see in the lines of your face and the lines of your body? Do you see a lot of roundness? Do you see angles? Do you see somewhere in between? And what clues can these offer you into what you're drawn to? And essentially, they reflect, I think, what partly the gifts that you have to offer to the world. In some sense, they are, the more that you are connected with those things, your true essence, that you have a better idea of what you are intended to create, because these things about ourselves come out in some way, especially in the things that we create, whether that's the things that we draw or just any kind of creation process. So our clothes, of course, too. So think about the words also that people use to describe your personal appearance. And maybe that brings up some negative connotations. So don't think of those. Just think of the positive ones. What are the things that people say about you that you like to hear? Do you like it if people say, you look really cute today, I love this look on you? Or do you like it when people say, wow, you look really striking or sophisticated? What words come to mind, and do those words connect to the other things that you like, you know, the things that you draw, the things that you're drawn to? Are all those words harmonious? Then take a moment to open your closet door or just visualize your clothes. What's hanging in your closet right now? Would you use those same words to describe what you see? So I say all this, yes, to assure you that your instincts are good, and that having an awareness of them will really help as you try and figure out the things that look best on your body and keep you from making bad purchases, essentially, because what we're trying to do here is to stop wasting time to get to the right answers as quickly as we can. And again, we're not trying to rush it, but I think that there are some, I don't want to say shortcuts, but there are some things that we can do to eliminate wasting time. So having this vocabulary, I think, is one of those things. If we can look in the mirror when we get dressed and not just dismiss what we see because, you know, all this list of negative things about our bodies, if we can just separate that and look at our bodies more objectively and say, this is what I have to work with, and this is what I want to portray, this is how I want people to see me whenever they look at my appearance. And you have control over that. You have more control over that than you think. So there's no way that we can talk about the scope of fit in one episode. So I think it's important to set this context, though, and to set the table for a discussion of fit that doesn't just involve whether you're an inverted triangle or a square or an hourglass shape or whatever. It has so much more to do with that. I think those systems tend to forget that you are trying not to balance, you're not just trying to balance yourself on a superficial level as far as, because the human eye is drawn to proportion. We do perceive proportion and balance as beautiful. So there is a place for that scientifically, even that, yes, we want to create balance in our aesthetics, but it's about more than that. The balance is also coming from your personality and who you are inside. And it's just so much more than what's on the surface. So this leads me to a couple of reader questions that I've wanted to get to here for a while. So the first one, this was from my survey that I sent out a few weeks back. And so it was anonymous, so I don't know the person who sent this in, but whoever you are, if you are listening, then thank you very much for sending this question in. I think it's wonderful. So the question is, how do you feel about clothes that maybe aren't very flattering, but that you love anyway? And I think this is just a great question because, well, on a couple of different levels. First of all, I think you all can maybe guess what my answer might be, but how you feel in your clothes definitely trumps everything else. So if you put on something and you say, this isn't flattering, but I feel like Superwoman in it, then you should wear it. But of course, there's also the fact that you have to consider that you live in a world where people might not translate what you're wearing in the same way that you do. So there is a sense where I think it is a form of consideration to acknowledge that your personality is not more important than somebody else's. So if you feel really awesome in a clown suit and you are offended by the reaction of somebody else who doesn't read that as you are just a playful person, then that's just worth considering. And we won't get into that too much. I know that's kind of vague, but hopefully you understand what I'm trying to say there. But then on the other sense, I think this begs the question of how do you define flattering? So as I was saying about the hourglass type and all, and the shape of your body. So yes, while the human eye is drawn to balance and proportion, I think maybe our culture puts too much emphasis on having a certain body type. And so maybe the word flattering kind of rubs us the wrong way because it feels like we have to conform to a specific form of beauty. So yes, there is that to consider. But I think that flattering should be defined by you. If you feel like maybe it doesn't give you an hourglass figure when you wear this sack-like dress that doesn't have any waist definition or anything like that, but maybe it makes you feel really playful and fun and childlike, and you feel like that is an accurate representation of who you are, then that will appear flattering to other people because it flatters your personality. So I think this question of is it flattering comes from a pressure to look a certain way. And you know, if you've been here any amount of time, that that's not what we're going for when we are looking for our puffed sleeves. We're not looking to be the most stylish person in the room. We are looking to just accurately represent ourselves to the world so that in turn, we can give permission to other people to dress in an authentic way, in a way that accurately represents who they are. So it just makes the world more interesting when we aren't worried about blending in or showing that we know what the latest trend is. It's much more important to support our role, whatever it is, whatever our calling is. It's more important to feel supported in that role so that we can live out our lives to the best of our abilities. So the other reader question that I got, and I'll just paraphrase because several people mentioned this. They asked, when is it a good time or when should I wait to invest in my wardrobe because I am not at my ideal weight? And I wanted to bring this question up because I know that it's one that pretty much everyone can relate to. We've all experienced that frustration to some extent of thinking that, well, we don't want to spend a lot of money because we still have 10 pounds to lose or whatever. So my answer to that would be you should never wait to invest in yourself. And if you're thinking of your weight as something that excludes you, again, it doesn't. It doesn't exclude you from having a great wardrobe and having personal style at all. So if you aren't at your ideal weight, then maybe don't spend $500 on a wool coat right now, you know, something that might be considered a staple in your wardrobe. But also, it's okay to do that too, because there is definitely a place for just accepting where you are right now. But I understand if you just don't want to spend a lot of money. So if that's the concern, if you don't want to waste money on clothes because you feel like you are going to lose weight and you'll have to buy more clothes, then I would say just really focus on, when you're thinking about your personal style, focus on the things that won't change, which are your proportions. So maybe your measurements will change, maybe your shoulder and bust, waist, hips, maybe those measurements will change, but most likely they will be in the same proportion. So if you have larger hips, significantly larger hips than waist, even if you aren't at your ideal waist, you probably will still have that ratio. So focus on figuring out what works best with your body type in that sense. You can also really focus on the colors that look best on you, because that's not going to change either. So just don't ever think about your personal style as something that you have to put on hold, because there's literally never a time in your life where you need to do that. You can always be working toward that. And even if your body changes, there's still a benefit to figuring out what your style is and what you're drawn to and what you love, because that is going to be reflected in so many other areas of your life, the things that you create and the way that you decorate your home, etc. So I would say if I could just make this episode into one sentence, I would say that the most important thing is to remember that nobody is excluded from personal style based on their body type or their weight. There's just so much more to presenting ourselves in a way that is authentic than those things. So in this episode, yeah, that was the most important thing, was just to talk about fit in a way that is beyond what fruit you are or what vegetable closely is most represented by your body. So we have more to discuss on this, and I'm going to stop here for today. But if you have any questions or thoughts about this topic, you know where to reach me. Hit reply on any email you've received from me, or you can look in the description of this podcast too, and you'll find my email address. But I love hearing from you all. But again, Thank you so much for being here, for joining me in this episode. We have so much more to discuss, so I hope you will join me next time. But for now, I hope that you have fun experimenting with your closet. When you open your closet and get dressed in this coming week, think about what words are represented by the clothes that are there and if that is an accurate portrayal of yourself. One more thing. So when I was talking about investing in your personal style, even if you aren't at your ideal weight, one of the things that you could focus on there too is if you don't want to spend a lot of money, then you could get comfortable with thrifting or consigning, finding clothes that aren't as expensive. And so you don't feel like you're wasting money, but you're still not wasting the energy spent because you get to maybe experiment with some things that you wouldn't necessarily find in a store that only sells things that are the current trend. So I'm a huge fan of thrifting and shopping secondhand, and it's inevitable that I talk more about that later. But so just, yeah, think of the possibilities. Don't think of the limitations, and you'll go farther than you think. So that's that. Thanks again for joining me. Enjoy getting dressed this week. Enjoy finding your puff sleeves and exercising your creativity, however you are called to do that. And I can't wait till we can chat again. See you next time.